Job growth is sure to be a major issue in the 2014 race for governor in Wisconsin. Since Governor Walker pledged to create 250,000 jobs in his first term, and now some say that goal seems elusive. And it seems every other week we hear about a new statistic that says Wisconsin is doing better or worse in the jobs column. How do we compare to other states and over time? We'll talk about a recently released report that does that this hour and welcome your questions and thoughts on where we stand and how Wisconsin could do better. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, February 19th. Where does Wisconsin rank today among the 50 states in job growth? How does the state's employment performance over the past 3 years compare to the past decade? What factors are involved, and what policies could help or hurt job creation in Wisconsin? We welcome your thoughts and your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Mark Levine is our guest, a professor of history, economic development, and urban studies, also a senior fellow at the Center for Economic Development at the University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee. Here with us to talk about the recent report, How Does Employment Growth in Wisconsin Compare to Other States Over the Past Decade? Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So why did you do this report? There seems to be a report, as I said, every other week. Well, why this one?
Well, it did it for a couple of reasons. One is that at the Center for Economic Development, one of our missions is to monitor employment conditions in the state as a whole, and particularly in the greater Milwaukee area. So this is research that we do all the time on trends in the state and in the largest metropolitan area in the state. But I think a second reason in terms of informing the public or public interest in the research that we do is, as you said in the setup to this, this is a hot button issue in the state now. It will obviously be a major issue in the gubernatorial campaign, and rightfully so. It's a major policy question. How do you create jobs in the state? It's a major issue of controversy. How do we stack up against other states? And so, both as an ongoing piece of research that we do, as well as fulfilling our mission to inform the public about current economic policy issues, we thought we ought to look at the data on this very issue.
And how do we stack up, according to your report?
Well, the data that we've looked at is over the last decade or so, actually. As the economists look at employment trends, it's good to look at growth between business cycles. So we basically looked at Wisconsin from the recession of that ended in 2001, 2002, through the Great Recession of 2009, and now the so-called recovery period, up to the most recent data. And the most recent and reliable data that we have on employment runs through 2013, the middle of 2013. This is from the federal government, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, quarterly census on employment and wages, which surveys about 98% of all employers in the state. So it's a better survey than their monthly survey, which has a much smaller sample, a lot of error. And that's the one that gets a lot of attention because it comes out every month. Newspapers across the state will report those monthly figures, and they'll be either up or down, and politicians will celebrate or castigate, depending on mm-hmm. which side they're on. It's better to look at the bigger data set and the larger and the longer term trend. And what we found in looking at employment growth in Wisconsin versus employment growth nationally, and we did a benchmark comparison to our closest neighbor and, you know, putatively most similar other state, Minnesota, what we found is that Wisconsin has generally underperformed in employment growth over the last decade. There has been essentially a stagnant employment picture in the state, and I hope we'll have a chance to obviously talk about some of the reasons for mm-hmm. that. But our ranking And so our ranking through the decade since 2001 has been sort of middle of the pack, slightly worse than the middle of the pack, and slightly deteriorating sort of between 2006, 2007, 2008. The average rank for Wisconsin among the 50 states in annual employment growth during this period was 27th, but we were falling into the low 30s by the period before the Great Recession. What's happened, interestingly, is that in the immediate aftermath of the Great Recession, our rank actually improved. Now, we lost jobs, like everybody did, but we actually outperformed many other states in limiting, I guess, the damage during the immediate aftermath of the Great Recession. So our rank actually climbed as high as 21st. But in the last 3 years, it's deteriorated dramatically. And so we're now at the lowest point that we've been compared to all other states in the last decade. In the most recent year-over-year data that we have between June 2012 and June 2013, Wisconsin ranked 41st of the 50 states in overall employment growth and dramatically underperformed the national rate of employment growth. That our rate of job growth in the most recent year that we can measure was a little more than 30% of the national rate, 36%, I think, of the national rate. So we're growing at about a third the rate of the national employment rate over the most recent data period that we have.
Yeah, and we'll talk a little bit about the reasons for that, too. But right. Just to, because so many numbers, the report found that Wisconsin ranked right now 41st in the nation.
Right, the most recent data, right, for the June 2012, June 2013 period. The next batch of this data will be coming out in mid-March, and then we'll be able to compare it from September 2012 through September 2013, and we'll obviously go back as well and look at the September to September comparisons for the entire decade. But we've already seen through September 2012, then in the last 2 or 3 years, there's been a deterioration in Wisconsin's rank on that as well. So I'm anticipating that the September data will also show where we're in the bottom tier of the 50 states in job creation numbers.
Can you help us understand why in 2011 Wisconsin would be 21st in the nation and then have this deterioration just in the past few years?
Yeah, that's a great question, I think it's a combination of two factors. One is that we, as a state, disproportionately benefited from the stimulus spending that the Obama administration put into place. Remember when the Obama administration began in early 2009 and we were facing the huge economic crisis as a consequence of the financial meltdown, and the country was shedding hundreds of thousands of jobs a month. Wisconsin was beginning to lose jobs. $787 million so-called stimulus package was put into was passed and put into place, a package of spending for all manner of projects, roads, bridges, school construction. Some states got mass transit money. Higher education assistance, social assistance, I mean, a broad range of things. Wisconsin did very, very well in getting those stimulus funds. I think it's fairly well known that we've not done very well historically in Wisconsin in getting federal funds in the state. We've often ranked 47th or 48th in the per capita federal dollars that we've received. In 2009, as a consequence of the stimulus spending, we leaped from 47th, I think, the year before, to 21st. We had I don't throw a lot of numbers out here, we had a 50% increase in the actual number, in the actual amount of federal dollars sent to Wisconsin. In concrete dollars, it was $20 billion of stimulus. We got $40 billion in 2008 and $61 billion or thereabouts in 2009. And so what happened is that as our economy was shrinking during this period, as the state's gross state product or gross domestic product was shrinking as a consequence of the recession, it was counterbalanced in Wisconsin by getting a disproportionate amount of federal spending coming here, getting the additional $20 billion. Now, that $20 billion was allocated in 2009 and spent over 2010 and 2011. And so consequently, we rank better in the job situation, I believe, because of the infusion of those funds, which pretty much did what Keynesian economists would have expected them to do, and that is stimulate the economy. And since Wisconsin got a disproportionate amount of those funds compared to other states, we rose through the ranks. Now, after 2011, two things happened that counterbalanced that and I think sent us plummeting down the ranks of employment growth. One, of course, is that the stimulus ended, right? So the infusion of funds was limited after that. Secondly, at the same time, not only did the stimulus end, but the federal government, as a consequence of a number of factors that we're pretty familiar with, actually reversed course and began a kind of a quasi-austerity program. There were budget cuts. There was sequestration. There were cuts in several programs. And so consequently, the amount of federal funds coming into Wisconsin declined after 2010 and 2011. We can't fully update those numbers because, in their infinite wisdom, Congress abolished the source, it's called the Consolidated Federal Funds Report, that actually reports the funds. So I can't tell you what the amount was for 2012, but my hunch is since sequestration was continuing that those funds continued to decline. So we had a reversal or an end of the stimulus, a reversal of federal spending in terms of getting, you know, into an austerity program, and that was then compounded in Wisconsin by the implementation of what I would call austerity policies at the state level. We had state budget cuts. We had cuts, particularly in K-12 education, about $740 million worth of cuts. We had dollars with Act 10 coming out of the pockets of public employees, which reduces overall spending power and aggregate demand in the state. And we had a decline in public sector employment. And those people are people who pay taxes, people who spend dollars that stimulate the rest of the economy. And so that has a reverse effect on overall economic growth. So I think it was a sort of a witch's brew, if you will, of an end of the stimulus, the implementation of austerity policies at the federal level, and a mix of policies at the state level that exacerbated that austerity program.
We are going to take a short pause, and then we'll return, continuing our discussion with Mark Levine, who is a professor of history, economic development, and urban studies, and a senior fellow at the Center for Economic Development at UW-Milwaukee, talking about the Center's recent report, How Does Employment Growth in Wisconsin Compare to Other States Over the Past Decade? And we are welcoming your questions, and we're welcoming your theories as to why Wisconsin, in this report, ranks 41st in the nation for employment growth. And when we come back, we'll also compare that to our neighbors like Minnesota. How is Wisconsin doing, and how can Wisconsin do better? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We are talking about how employment growth in Wisconsin compares to other states with Mark Levine, who is a senior fellow at the Center for Economic Development at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, talking about this report that the center published last month and comparing Wisconsin's job creation picture to the rest of the country. Right now, we rank 41st, according to the latest data. And Mark Levine, our rate of employment growth is trailing Minnesota. How do we stack up to Minnesota?
Well, again, this is a long-term trend. We've been lagging behind Minnesota fairly consistently over the last decade. I think we found that in the last 12 years, our annual rate of employment growth has trailed Minnesota's in 9 of those 12 years. And although this wasn't in the report, if we go back even further into the 90s and 80s, it's pretty clear that Minnesota's economy has been developing in more, let's say, innovative and productive ways than Wisconsin's over that period. But again, the gap seems to have grown substantially over the last two or three years. In 2011, for example, our rate of job growth was about 50% or so of Minnesota's rate, about half their rate. In 2011, 2012, they were almost identical. Both states, I think, grew by about 1.5%. Employment grew by about 1.5%. But in the last year, the year where I think all of the effects of those factors I was talking about earlier, the end of the stimulus and the rise of austerity taking place in Wisconsin, and I think it's pretty widely known now, Minnesota has a somewhat different policy mix, a much more stimulus and public investment-oriented state policy mix than Wisconsin has. And those policies have been going into effect in the last year or so. And Wisconsin's rate of job growth in the last year was only about a third of what Minnesota's was. So I think it's fairly clear that we have a sort of a long-term disadvantage that's been developing vis-a-vis Minnesota in terms of job growth and overall economic growth. State GDP growth has been much more robust. Income growth has been more robust in Minnesota. But things have, again, taken a turn for the worse in the last two or three years here in Wisconsin compared to Minnesota.
Yeah. What about the types of jobs that are being created? Is that does that factor in at all? I saw a report that said Wisconsin had poor job growth in part because of, I guess, the mix of manufacturing jobs and other jobs that weren't growing like maybe some other fields might be.
Yeah, we have a disproportionate number of jobs in Wisconsin compared to other states in manufacturing. Although that's been changing. I mean, at the beginning of the century, I guess we'd say in 2001, 2002, about 21% of Wisconsin's workforce was employed in manufacturing. We're down now to about probably 14, 15%. I mean, we've been shedding manufacturing jobs throughout the decade, and that's part of the long-term problem that I mentioned at the outset, that we've got a long-term stagnation problem. We've got a long-term problem in the decline in manufacturing and in our dependence on manufacturing. Now, having said that, manufacturing still matters quite a bit, and it is the base of the economy, and the question is, how does one kind of revive those portions of manufacturing that could remain in the state, not get offshored or outsourced, as some people call it, and actually create jobs in the state. But clearly, the shift to the knowledge economy, more innovative sectors, high tech employment, has been much more robust in Minnesota than it has been in Wisconsin. There's no question about that.
Well, we have a caller, so let's go to Greg in Milwaukee. Hello, Greg.
Oh, good morning. I feel very sad about Wisconsin. I've been a Wisconsin resident my whole life. When I was in high school, there was music, there were shops, there was all sorts of things. You could take food, you could take anything. They taught anthropology in high school instead. If you didn't want to take history, I took anthropology. And I'm watching Wisconsin totally deteriorate, especially under this Tea Party regime. What they want is, this is greed. This is all it is. They're taking from the poor and they're giving to the rich. They cut out all the social programs. They cut out the schools. They cut out the teachers. We are turning into a two-party system, the rich and the serfs.
Yeah, but link that to jobs, Greg. Link that to jobs.
The job situation is really bad. When Ronald Reagan was in office, he passed the Stockholders' Bill of Rights, and that said that our industry has to be motivated by greed. They have to go after the cheapest anti-pollution, the cheapest labor. Yeah. If I owned a company like Walmart and I put my workers in a company and it collapsed and killed 6,000 people or even 1,000 people, I would be put in jail forever. But Walmart did it in Bangladesh.
Greg, thanks. But I want maybe in 1 minute, because we have a newscast coming up, Mark Levine. Is Tea Party greed to blame for Wisconsin's job standing?
Well, I'd probably put it a little bit differently. I think, as I was saying earlier, it's the mix of policies, and I think Tea Party policies, which are predicated on massive cuts in public spending, massive cuts in public investment, and tax cuts for the most affluent. Assuming that those are going to, that somehow that mix is going to create jobs, at least in the early reading in Wisconsin, and I think in other states and nationally as well, seems to suggest that approach doesn't work, and that inequality, which certainly has increased dramatically, as Greg's pointed out, over the last 30 years, has not been a recipe for employment growth either in Wisconsin or nationally.
We are talking about how employment growth in Wisconsin compares to other states with Mark Levine, and we'll continue after we check the latest news. How does employment growth in Wisconsin compare to other states? That's what we're talking about this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 6:37 on this Wednesday, February the 19th. Right now, Wisconsin, according to the latest numbers, ranks 41st in the nation in terms of job growth. We're talking about this with our guest, Mark Levine, who is with the Center for Economic Development at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. And we're welcoming your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Mark Levine is also a professor of history, economic development, and urban studies, and we are talking with the Center for Economic Development's recent report, How Does Employment Growth in Wisconsin Compare to Other States Over the Past Decade? I wanted to ask you, Mark Levine, about a couple of things that our lieutenant governor had to say to us this week. We talked to her on our state capitol report on Monday when she and the revenue secretary were holding roundtables in Milwaukee. This is a statewide tour to get input on possible tax reform in Wisconsin. This is for the next budget, perhaps lowering the income tax or lowering the property tax or possibly raising the sales tax to make up for some of that revenue. But the thought was is that lower taxes is going to be better for the job creators. Is that so?
Right. Well, I mean, we've been over this terrain quite a bit now over the last 3 decades. I mean, economists have been studying the issue since supply-side economics with the magic elixir of lower taxes being the recipe for economic growth came on the scene. Both at the state level and the national level, the historical evidence is abundantly clear that there is little relationship between the tax rates, particularly on the affluent, and the either the economic growth in a state or a region, or the employment growth in that area. And in fact, one of the issues in terms of the policy mix in Wisconsin over the last 2 or 3 years that we were talking about earlier is that at the same time that we've embarked upon state level austerity policies in terms of public investment, cutting back on K-12 funding, higher education funding, and turning down federal dollars for various projects, we've counterbalanced that somewhat, particularly in the first Walker administration budget, with tax cuts for the affluent, calling them the job creators, which is a little bit strange, but assuming that tax cuts for those at the top of the economic hierarchy would translate into job creation. But I think what really happens when you do that is you're engaging in redistribution. You're essentially cutting public employment. You're cutting income in the hands of middle class residents, mainly middle class residents. Who are public employees and the like, or when you're cutting back in K-12 spending and the like, and you're saying we're going to put that in the hands of the affluent who are presumably going to invest those dollars, and that's going to create jobs. But in fact, it's more important to have those dollars in the hands of middle-class consumers who are likelier to spend their income on items that will boost overall, or what we call aggregate demand in the economy, as opposed to the affluent, who generally will either take those dollars, put them in the bank, buy some luxury item purchased outside the state, thus not contributing a great deal to local economic development, or invest it in the stock market. So, again, a good Keynesian approach says you want to have as much aggregate demand at the middle of the income distribution, or the lower end as well, as you can to boost overall employment growth and economic growth. And that's what happened during the sort of the golden period in U.S. economic history in terms of employment growth and overall economic growth, the period right after World War II, between 1948 and 1973, which is also known by economists as the Great Compression, when inequality was substantially less, when marginal tax rates on the wealthy were at their absolute highest, in fact peaking at 91% in the 1950s, lowered to 77% in the 1960s, and then 91% in the 1950s, which seems incredibly high by today's standards. But yet, with those high marginal tax rates and with less inequality, with a broader middle class, we had the most robust economic growth in U.S. history. So I think it's a fallacious argument to think that cutting taxes on the wealthy is a way to generate economic growth or employment growth, and I think what we're seeing in Wisconsin over the last two or three years is further evidence of that.
Rick in Waukesha is with us. Hello, Rick.
Hello. It's interesting. I'm actually I was a business owner, and I received a letter through the mail about Walker that I should be thanking him. It said because he lowered my premiums for unemployment insurance, and it really, in the big picture of things, basically, all I've seen Walker do is pass legislation to force people off of unemployment and into lower-paying jobs. So I don't think he really created jobs. If anything, he's just kind of working for the business owners into getting people to work for a lower wage and saying, well, if you don't want to work that lower-paying job, well, guess what? Now I'm going to cut off unemployment, so now you're going to be forced to work these low-paying jobs. And that's all I've really seen.
What do you say to that, Mark Levine?
Well, we've already seen some evidence in some early studies that of the jobs that have been created since the end of the Great Recession in Wisconsin, that the vast majority have been so-called low-paying jobs, that is, jobs that pay the minimum wage up to about 10 or 11 bucks an hour. Something like 60% of the jobs that have been created, you know, fall into that category. So, you know, that is certainly a concern. The other concern, obviously, is how the issue of unemployment insurance is treated. You know, there's a body of thought, and clearly this administration has bought into that, that extended unemployment benefits are a way of people getting fat and lazy and sitting around and collecting those benefits and not being motivated to get it back into the workplace. But again, there's abundant evidence from economists that those are not disincentives. And the basic problem is that we have such a slow growth environment in the state and even nationally. I mean, we're lagging behind a national rate, which isn't as robust as it ought to be, which isn't creating enough jobs. We have, a jobs shortage. And consequently, more and more people are in a position of needing extended unemployment benefits because their, you know, benefits are running out. They're in the category of the long-term unemployed. I mean, we've had in the last decade, this is an incredible statistic, a quadrupling in the share of unemployed in Wisconsin who fall into the category of long-term unemployed. That is, that they've been out of work 27 weeks or more. 35% now of all of the unemployed in Wisconsin have been out of work for 27 weeks or more. 25% have been out of work for over a year. So we've got a situation, and I don't think all of a sudden in the last two or three years all of these workers decided, God, I'm going to be lazy and just collect that unemployment insurance. I don't really want a job. And it makes no sense. The same incentives in terms of unemployment insurance existed 2, 3, 10 years earlier. So the issue becomes, what are we going to do to create enough jobs so that we can not only grow the economy generally for folks, but in particular get those long-term unemployed back into the labor force, or I should say back into the labor market. Long-term unemployment is a disaster. I mean, not only just in the personal lives, and you know, we're talking about a lot of statistics here, and you know, assessing policy mixes. When we're talking about real people, the people whose lives have been thrown into complete disarray by being out of work and being out of work for a long time, and you know, if we're not implementing the policies to change that, I think, you know, we're failing, obviously, our citizens in that regard. And the longer people are out of work, the more difficult it is for them to find a job. Recent study by the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston, for example, found that if you're out of work for 6 months, that on your resume or whatever you submit to your job application, that in and of itself is the most important factor that employers use to knock you out of even consideration. It's more important in some cases than experience. It's more important whether you have the skills for that particular job. If an employer sees you've been out of work for 6 months or more, they take that as a sign that somehow you've got some disease and you ought not be hired. And so, you know, it's the tragedy of long-term unemployment it's exactly that. It's a tragedy that, you know, affects the unemployed for a very long time, if not forever.
Now, this might have been late last year. There was, in December, the December report had Wisconsin the highest in the nation in jobless claims. Wasn't that right?
Yeah, it's a one-month report.
That's not really reliable.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's not that it's unreliable, but it will change. They revise those claims. But it is pretty shocking that in absolute numbers, for example, the initial jobless claims here, I think were about 5,100 for that report. You know, we're more than large states like California and New York, which would possibly suggest. I mean, who knows? Obviously, the reliability of the statistics will be tested. But if in fact they're accurate, it would suggest that as we move into 2014, if initial claims are going up for jobless benefits, that would seem to indicate that the robustness of the employment situation is severely lacking. The things that I found in this report are likely to continue into 2014 as well.
We are talking about a report from the Center for Economic Development that was published last month that compares Wisconsin to other states in terms of job growth. And we're talking about why Wisconsin ranks in this report 41st out of the 50 states in terms of employment growth. Talking about why things are so rough in Wisconsin, and we'll talk about what can be done to make it better. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking with Mark Levine, a professor of history, economic development, and urban studies, and a senior fellow at the Center for Economic Development at UW-Milwaukee, about job growth in Wisconsin, why we are lagging behind other states, including neighboring states like Minnesota, and what can be done about it. And welcoming your questions for him and your thoughts on this. Back to the phones, as we have many callers. Julie in Fountain City is with us. Hello, Julie.
Hi.
Yes, what's your thought on this?
Well, I am a small manufacturing company, or I own a small manufacturing company. So first of all, I have to say, as far as lowering taxes for the wealthy, that does not help at all. The only way I hire people is if I have more orders coming in. The only way I get more orders is if people are spending money. And the rich are not waiting to spend money on my product. So, no, that tax cut doesn't help us. But my question is, I started out small business at a craft show, and it developed over 8 years into being what it is now. We sell to about 400 different stores across the country. And it seems like there's so many people in my area that are smart, have great ideas. If there was a community center that would be business-based, where they would have internet access, photo area, fully functioning, certified kitchen, where you could kind of have a business incubator. You could create their own jobs. They create jobs. I just don't know how viable it is, but it seems like a good idea to me, because it would have made my business grow so much faster if I would have had help from the people in my community, advice. We could share suppliers to make minimums, you know, all that. But I just wanted your thoughts on that.
Mm-hmm. Professor Levine.
Yeah, we've got, you know, a series of these, obviously, are around the state. You know, business incubators are certainly part of the institutional mix in this state and other states. And I think Wisconsin is, I mean, this is certainly not an area that I think Wisconsin lags other states in. You know, we have a small business development center, I know, at UW-Milwaukee, and it works, that they work around the state, and they do precisely you know, what Judy was talking about. I mean, they help small business owners, would-be entrepreneurs, with business plans, with figuring out how you get access to capital, with what some of the technical and legal requirements might be for their business and the like. There are lots of specialized incubators around the state, in particular sectors that the state is interested in nurturing. So there are incubators in more high-tech areas like biotech and the like, but there are also incubators for artists to develop their products. We have incubators, for example, in downtown Milwaukee to do that. We have the new Water Center has an incubator for water technology companies, in the hope that that they'll develop. So I think that stuff's in place, and I think we, you know, maybe need to get better information out to small business owners. But I think we're pretty good in that area.
Briefly, as we are running short on time, lots of calls. I did want to also ask you, since Julie, a small business person, it reminded me of another claim of our Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish. She was saying, as we were talking about jobs, that a lesser known pledge of Governor Walker's was that he the state would add new businesses, you know, and create small businesses. And she said that Wisconsin has added 13,000 new businesses since 2010. So are we doing well when it comes to that?
Well, it depends, obviously, how you measure a new business. I mean, probably we don't have enough time to go into the statistical technicalities of this. You know, what is a new business? Establishments versus new firms. You know, obviously, are they businesses that have employees, or are they sort of, you know, a one shot deal with a mom and pop operation, mm-hmm. a spin off of another business? You know, I actually haven't looked into this specific number, but have read you know, some other folks writing about it and suggesting that you know, there's some question about how you actually measure you know, that number of new businesses. But ultimately, the bottom line is, are these businesses, or any of the businesses, creating jobs for the people of the state? I mean, that's the bottom line, is employment growth. So if, you know, you create a lot of one person businesses that last for 6 months or a year, as most fail within the first year, that's not necessarily a great contribution to overall economic growth or prosperity in the state.
Gary in Lake Mills is with us now. Hi, Gary.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. And the thought I have is, he gave a very good description of what I've come to call trickle-up economics versus trickle-down economics. And it seems that the concept of trickle-up economics is what really created most of the wealth in the United States over the last 50, 60 years.
That's the middle class spending more money and creating more jobs that way, Gary.
And yet the concept of trickle down economics seems to be a concept that can be sold to the populace very readily by politicians, and the concept of trickle up economics is something that they do not seem to be able to sell in any way or form.
So what do you think of that, Mark Levine?
Well, I think Gary's right that the argument about creating more aggregate demand, I mean, as Julie said earlier, needing people to buy her products so that there'll be more orders coming in, that's how businesses grow, is absolutely essential. And clearly what's happened since the Great Recession in 2009 is that aggregate demand has been obliterated in the national economy and in the state economy. And during those periods, you need policies to counteract the decline of aggregate demand, and that's where the stimulus package came in. And so as we were talking at the outset of this, without those kind of stimulus policies to get the cycle going again so that people have more money in their pocket that they spend and businesses expand because they see opportunities, but you need the leverage for that. You need the linchpin for that, and the linchpin has got to be greater public investment. But clearly a more salutary approach to the economy is to have an economy where there is less inequality, a broader middle class, broader consumer spending, and that, you know, can drive economic growth and employment growth.
I'm afraid we have just a minute. Is there anything to indicate that the governor is going to come anywhere close to the 250,000 new jobs by the end of his first term?
I don't think so. I mean, we're at about 100,000, I guess, now, and the early signs are that there hasn't been a substantial quickening. I mean, it would take an extraordinary level of quickening of employment growth to get to that. So it's clearly going to fall short. And the question is, obviously, how does that get spun, and you know, how does that enter into the political debate?
Well, we'll leave it there for now, and hopefully talk to you again as that political debate continues. Thanks very much for being with us.
Well, thank you very much for having me, Joy.
Mark Levine is a professor of history, economic development, and urban studies, and a senior fellow at the Center for Economic Development at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. The center's report that we have been discussing, how does employment growth in Wisconsin compare to other states over the past decade, is posted on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Thanks to Robin Cherry for producing and directing this program. Thanks to Christy Taylor for on-air production. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. We have much more to come, including the big question on whether or not labor unions are still relevant. That's coming up next. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.